It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence here in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, where we're broadcasting from Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, talking about the Freedom Summit with my Freedom Summit partner of long decade. And we've been doing this a while. You know, Mark J. Victor, criminal defense attorney here in the Valley, attorneyforfreedom.com. Now, what I want to do is we're going to go ahead and get right back into the summit itself. We're going to do some planning because we're just so limited on time for us to get together that, you know, it's either at your office or mine, and I vote mine today. So we're going to go ahead, and what are some of the issues that you think that we should talk about for the summit? I mean, now keep in mind, this is going to be beginning of December. It's going to be after the election in November. It's going to be more whatever the heck. So we're going to be talking about what's going to be big issues then.
Well, immigration's a big issue. I mean, we need to cover immigration.
All right, so we got immigration. What's another one? Give me another issue. Might be maybe the economy.
Yeah, maybe the collapse of the American economy and how it's going to affect the rest of the world and all that stuff.
Well, what about precious metals? I mean, somebody get somebody what for they kind of overlap or we want to do
That's
something
the same.
Special? All right, so economy slash... You know, gold, et cetera. All right.
We gotta cover Obamacare.
Obamacare, healthcare, whatever. Healthcare, okay.
We gotta cover why Ernie's pens run out of ink.
I have more pens. Here we go.
All right.
So what's another one? We got immigration, we got economy, gold, and so on. We got healthcare, and then what?
Well, you know, there's another issue that seems to be pesky that is coming up constantly, and it involves separation of church and state, and it might not be a bad area to cover.
Man, it's always an area you want to cover.
I'll tell you what. This is an area that people get excited about. This is an area where a lot of people have a lot of things to say, and this is an area that I think is probably going to get more press going forward.
I'm not wanting to do, you know, just kind of like a debate. Is there not a God back? Blah, 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 blah. I don't care. You know, if you want to do anything to do with religion, then you get how religion is infecting. I know who. Mikey Weinstein, Air Force Academy graduate, was in the Reagan administration, started military families of religious freedom thing, so that they, because the Air Force Academy started doing this angels of death for the man kind of crap, and he's like, oh heck no, they are trying to turn the military into a Christian arm of the whatever. And I've had him on the radio before. He's having a lot of success of getting religion out of the military. You know, that this whole, I mean, if you want to be religious, fine. You know, that's not the point. I mean, he is. But, you know, what was happening is you had to have a certain kind of religion. We need to get you all Christian, you know, fied, and you got the button. We're going to go bomb Muslims. So you want to do religion, we're going to do him. Religion. And Mikey, if you're listening, we'll be getting to you. So, religion and the military, how they're using that to con whatever. So anyway, I vote that one. Whatever. Put your BlackBerry down. You know, what? What are you doing?
Hey, you know what, Ernie? Mark Victor gives good service, okay? If somebody's contacting me about a case, I'm responding.
Yeah, well, they
even
can,
while I'm on the radio with Hancock.
Win. All right, you get extra points. You know?
All right, so we're going to do some separation of church and state.
All right, got that. Church and military, I'd vote that one. So anyway, we'll talk about it. But okay, if you're going to do that, we'll something.
Yeah, we're covering an area here.
All right, so then, so and I tell you what I want to do. I want to do kind of, I want to get an update on technology, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, you know, that's and I was thinking about
space.
That because
I want to get Bert Rattan in. I've been busting butt trying to get him for a while.
I don't know
time.
If that's a, I don't know if that's a good call, but let me just throw this out there. Let me throw this out there. When you listed all the speakers, one speaker you didn't list who's not well known, but who delivers a presentation that's probably more helpful than most of the people on that list.
Well, I didn't read every single one.
Stu Crone.
Yeah, no, Stu's always
Stu
good.
Stu Crone, because, yeah, you know, we need an update on what is the government up to now to watch you, to listen to you, to track you, to check your computer, to check. What is the state of technology?
Well, you know, Stu, when we did our first summit, he worked with us on that. You know, it was three of us that did it, and he just kind of, you know.
Yeah, he did a great job on that.
Lost interest on that. He didn't want to keep doing it. He got what he wanted out of the first one.
Technology is going to be
probably. He's the guy. I don't know who he works for now. Who does he work for now?
I think he's working for himself.
You know, he used to be an Intel. I tell you, Intel has, you know, access to the internet, of course. I mean, they're transferring in and out information. They got gazillion-trillion-dollar worth of technology on their servers, and they have, you know, ooh, man, if you were Soviet hacker, Chinese, whatever, 15-year-old, you know, that comes in, wants to get in on Intel and find out all their goodies, you can become written espionage kind of. Somebody's got to stop that. It's Stu Crone. That's what he does. He is the guy that protects Intel at the time he did, that he secures them from, he's the firewall. He's the security guy. And he would go and tell us and go at the Freedom Summits and your meetings you used to do every year for your law firm. You'd have a luncheon thing and all that. He would tell us, and he sends me emails all the time. He goes, told you so. Told you so.
I got the same ones, right?
You know, so he's always said, yeah, because he talks about this stuff. And he says, look, man, they know your passwords. They sit in a van down the street. They can read the electromagnetic radiation off of your screen.
You know
what key you're hitting.
The thing about Stu that is not good, and I will say this right to Stu, and he's the first person to admit it. Stu generally will leave you so depressed you're ready to shoot yourself in the head. but so what we'll get try to get Stu to focus on this year are positive things that we are, that technology can be used to achieve a higher level of freedom.
Yeah, and Stu knows. I mean, here he's the boy when it comes to that. So yeah, that's a good call. Okay, we need to get that. So Stu, surveillance, internet, you know, that kind of stuff. So we'll get Stu Crone. All right, cool. Then what other space and technology? I want to get. We're going to space. It's privatizing like crazy. You know, there are space stations. There's two space stations in orbit for past year and a half that's privately owned from Bigelow Aerospace, and you never heard about them.
Hey, you know what, Ernie?
Genesis 1 and 2. Just go look it up on Google. Two space stations. You don't know about it. Why? How come? Why don't they tell you?
You know what might be a great idea is, I don't know if you have the ability to do this, but maybe on the Freedom's Phoenix website, we can list these
various
we can list these categories and we can get some people to just vote. I'd rather see this, I don't want to see that kind of thing.
Screw them. I want to do what I want.
At least pretend
about you. It's
Ernie,
about me.
At least pretend you're interested in what other people are interested
well,
in.
Well, we'll do something. But I tell you, you know, that's one reason why they're successful is, man, we do what we want to do. We're not playing favorites. We're not taking votes. We're not trying to appease somebody. Heck, this is after the election.
Okay, I got another topic.
There I go.
Other countries.
Ooh.
Now, the reason I say other countries, always a popular thing at the Freedom Summit, where in the world are emerging bastions of potential freedom.
You know, I know who's a good speaker for that. It'd be Doug Casey.
Of course it's Doug Casey.
Okay, so we'll try and get Doug Casey.
They might have something to say about the economy, too. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, we've had Doug Casey before. Yeah, he wasn't on the
Never disappoints.
There.
Never disappoints.
Doug is a gazillionaire that's out, you know, I mean, he actually travels the world looking for freedom, you know, and he's building a, what do they call it, Cafe Jate. It's a place in Argentina.
And, you know, the thing about Doug that's so good, he tells the same jokes every year, but they're so funny, it doesn't matter.
It keeps applying. It applies even more the next time he says it. So, you know, what? We'll get Doug. We'll do our best to try and get him to go. And And Mark, you're we're both friends with him. You know, I know him pretty well. But what we'll go ahead and do is have him come and talk about other countries of where we can just go hide out. Because, I mean, he's hip to that. Because he, you know, he lives part of the year down in New Zealand because you get opposite seasons and so on. He likes playing polo. I mean, he's got to have his polo ground.
Well, you know, another Doug Caseyism is he summers in Southern California, and then he summers for the rest of the year in New Zealand.
Well, now he's starting to spend a lot of time in Argentina.
He is.
And he likes Thailand. He likes, you know, a lot of places. So a lot of, and he's set up a group called something 400, whatever. It's just a bunch of rich libertarian-oriented kind of, we just want to go be free, and we can do that better on our jets and yachts, you know. So, you know, they just go partying. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that are doing that very thing. If you have enough wealth, you know, you're not safe here because they're going to come get you. They're going to take everything you got. So they're doing the best they can to try and diversify themselves, not just in their wealth, but in their living locations. They're going, man, where can we go to be left alone? Oh, because the man's going to want all your money. Yeah, we'll talk about it more and add some more categories and speakers when we come back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
From Boston, I got here at all times. Blah, 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 blah. It's Red Sox. It's Patriots. It's, you know, whatever, Boston. And I go to Boston. Boston's like, you know, it's like concrete. You know, whatever. He's checking his messages. He's always got to have, are you okay? Anybody in jail now? Are you all right?
We have no emergencies at this moment.
Yeah, you better be freaking answering the phone when I call.
The government police state hasn't come and grabbed anybody, at least on my watch, since we've been doing this show.
Yo, I tell you, I let you take calls during the show because, man, when I call, you better be you know, getting your pants on, whatever. I don't care. I mean, you're answering the phone because when I call, man, it's going to be serious. I'm going to have 30 seconds. I'm being shot at, man. You know, so just so we know. The category. Categories we got now is immigration. We're going to be dealing with that. Economy, you know, I mean, duh. Healthcare, space technology, religion and whatever, you know, and government, religion out of government, religion and, you know, how they're using that to beat us over the head. And I got a good idea for that. Mikey Weinstein from Military Families for Religious Freedom or something like that. And I had him on. Matter of fact, my producer's trying to get him scheduled, and I'll talk to him about it. The surveillance state, police state, internet, the security, that kind of stuff. Stu Crone, you know, that's a good one. You know, we always get informed on that. It kind of puts a blanket on stuff, man. You're just going, dang, man, I can't do anything.
You know, I saw a speaker a few weeks ago, Ernie. I don't remember the guy's last name. The guy's first name was Clay, and he's fairly well known nationally. He is a scholar on Thomas Jefferson. He actually comes in and presents dressed as Jefferson, and he gives a little presentation and then answers questions from the audience just as Thomas Jefferson would have answered the question. It's like talking to Thomas Jefferson. And man, was that an interesting presentation. He's a guy, if you do a search on the internet, I'm sure you'll find him.
I just did. His name is Clay. He just says Clay. I don't know what his name, but leave a question for President Jefferson.
Yeah, and go to his homepage, and it probably will show his, it may begin with a J or something, his last name. I don't remember, but this guy has given presentations about Thomas Jefferson as Thomas Jefferson to presidents of the United States, to the United States Supreme Court, and he is good, very, very good, and very entertaining. In fact, if we could get him, we may want to put him on for an hour and a half because I think he's that good.
Well, he has, you know, his name's Clay. That's all he says everywhere. I guess he wants to go by Thomas Jefferson, but the only name I see on here is Clay. All right, so we got what do we call that?
Thomas Jefferson.
Well, I mean, categories, history, or, you know, just Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson deserves his own category.
Well, you know, there's one other guy did the same kind of thing with Patrick Henry. I like that one, too. That was a good presentation. He did it in Denver at the Libertarian Convention in 08. And I had a lot more respect for what a rabble-rouser Patrick Henry was, man. He had it going on. But, of course, Jefferson's always a top-of-the-line choice also. All right, so we'll go ahead and do that. Thomas Jefferson, Clay. I'll see. We got it right there. Okay, so then what other categories?
Well, we need to have something off the beaten path, and we need to have something fun.
I don't know. Pick. I mean, you know,
we could. It's conceivable to be off the beaten path and fun at the same time.
That what we're going to have adult social club owners or something. I mean, you know.
Well, you know, Doug Casey. You know, where I met Doug Casey was at something called the Eris Society, E-R-I-S, which is apparently the Greek god of discord, and he used to bring in lots of off the wall people living alternative lifestyles, all kinds of just. Stuff you would never think of. You know, he also used to bring in nuts so we could hear their perspective. I remember once he brought in a white supremacist to come in and tell us about how the, you know, the white people are the supreme race and all this other craziness. And it was fun to just simply listen to this guy's nutty views and then beat him up.
Yeah, I know. I'm not willing to go because, you know,
they're going to say, right, well, the Freedom Summit promotes this stuff.
Yeah, you know, so it's just not. But I don't mind getting kooky. I mean, let's see. Well, do we want to do drug war kind of stuff? I mean, that's something probably you could do. I mean, you know, criminal defense, you know, that's a Mark thing. So we would do, because we got LEAP guys we could do. But a lot of the people that go, they already know this stuff.
Right. It would be fun to have a debate. I mean, if there's somebody who could do the other side, if there was somebody willing to come forward and say,
drug war
look,
debate.
Yeah,
there
drug
go.
War good. Man, that would be fun. I've been searching for that person for years now.
Yeah, no prosecutors, no judges, nobody wants to play. All right, well, let's do that. We'll see if we can get a drug war debate, you know, and with Mark in there. And then we got Judge Buttrick. He's always, you know, good to have as a speaker on, you know, anything to do with the criminal justice system and stuff. So then we have...
We could do a panel maybe about the justice system might be fun. We might be able to get a prosecutor. I can get a few defense attorney buddies, maybe a judge or two. We can get up there and we can talk about...
Well, you know the drug war is going to come up then.
The drug war will come up then, but we could also talk about problems with the criminal justice system.
All right.
And how you can get caught in the thing. Or maybe I could moderate a panel like that. That could be a fun discussion.
All right, so we'll put that on there. And we'll see if we can get the right people. Then what was the other thing? A fun something you said? I can't remember.
Well, you know, there's the concept of breaking out into little groups, too. Like
I know. The economy is going to go. We're the greatest depression, kind of whatever. We get Gerald Celente type, you know, trends research kind of thing, you know, or something like that. Well, maybe we'll do something like that. But the main thing that I want is going to be surviving. Oh, I know who. There's two different tactics to go on this. One is growing food, you know, a garden, you know, that kind of square foot gardening kind of thing. Pal's doing that in his home now. Donna's redoing our garden, doing the same kind of thing. So just kind of growing your own food, how you can do it in a smaller area, how dense you can make the nutritional impact and, you know, that kind of stuff. What to grow, how to grow, that kind of stuff. So definitely do that. Chickens. Chickens. You got to make sure you get chickens. So then what would be the other thing? There was a guy at the Liberty Forum that I went to his breakout, and he was sponsored by a bunch of he was a big military industrial complex guy, worked for a large weapons thing or something. And he just had his fill, and he went off on his own, and he marketed straight to the people with a lot of these companies that have civilian lines of knives and guns and accessories and, you know, and equipment and everything. And he had some of the coolest stuff, like a jacket. Now, a rain jacket that turned into a sleeping bag. You know, it just, you know, zip, 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 unfolded into a sleeping bag. You're out in the middle of the nothing. You grab this one jacket, and it's full of all kinds of survival stuff, and you live. So I'm going, you know, that was cool. And I'll try and get it. So we'll survivalist kind of stuff. What do you think about that?
I think it's a great idea.
Survivalist.
Yep.
Survive. And I don't know what you call them. They call them preppers. You know, they're preppers. We're not survivalists. We're preppers, you know.
Preppers, huh?
Survival.
See, I'm writing preppers.
Preppers. Yeah, you know, whatever. Same thing. Okay. Preppers survive. So that's how it works. So we got now.
Nine categories. That's already enough.
Well, I want to make sure we get into the food thing. You know, food, garden, That's going to be very appreciated by a lot of people you watch. I mean, we could even have little plants or seed packets or, you know, whatever. That's one thing. We're doing a little centerpiece, you know, something we're making for the national convention in a couple of weeks. And my wife had a great idea. She goes, you know what you should put in there in addition to DVDs and printed material and all that kind of stuff? You know, you should put seed packs in there. And I go, oh, that's a good idea. You know, we're going to do that. So let's go ahead and have food garden kind of stuff, and we'll come up with somebody. So think about it. Here's a freedom song. We just planned it. This is how we do it, okay? We're going to – immigration, you know, that's still going to be a big issue. And I'm saying this whole thing is about national ID. They're just BSing us. You know, we'll talk about immigration, but this whole thing is camouflage for national ID.
You know, and you might be right about that, Ernie, but we should still deal with the issue of immigration.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. You know, it'll all come up. I just want to up front, as I introduce them, I go, oh, yeah, this thing's all about national ID. Okay, let's go ahead and talk about immigration. You know, who are we BSing? Then we have the economy, you know, golden stuff, healthcare, space technology, religion and government, military kind of thing, surveillance state, police state, internet kind of stuff. Other countries, where do we want to go? History with Thomas Jefferson, his perspective, drug war debate on the criminal justice system, survival preppers, and food and garden. See? Now, is that going to be a summit? And we get some big names, too.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
On the show here, declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, and Tracy, as always, beautiful audience in attendance, making sure we give our best game. Now, quit, will you be, pay attention. Man, he's sitting there freaking being a lawyer on his BlackBerry. Stop.
You know, Ernie, I'm a lawyer. I'm not a radio guy.
Oh, you're killing me. I'm going to take away your phone.
You know, you don't stop being a radio guy when we go to court, Ernie, I've noticed.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so we've gone through a kind of a general outline for the Freedom Summit. Now, we haven't even talked about it. You know, this is you got to hear, this is it. Now, this is how we do it. You know, we say, well, what are we going to do? So we got Don Brudeau, you want to do. Now, why Don? Now, Don was one of our speakers at our first summit. Now, I'll tell you, our first keynote speaker at our first summit in 2001 was Bumper Hornberger, Jacob Hornberger, Future Freedom Foundation. And there were at the Big Liberty Forum, there were a bunch of speakers and breakouts and so on. And there were three people that spoke at the whole thing, at the main conference, you know, everybody in the same room. And that was Judge Andrew Napolitano from Fox. He got up and did his thing. And I'll tell you, he went, Lincoln, scumbag, scumbag Lincoln. Lincoln's a scumbag. He arrested editors and publishers, and he did the draft and eliminated the habeas corpus, and he's scumbag Lincoln. Well, the older people in there are like, what the heck just happened to their whole world, man? They were, but the young people, they already knew this. I mean, these people that are on Facebook and Twitter and these young people learning Austrian economics and libertarianism and the love-lution and all this stuff, man, they know more. They have forgotten at 24 more about history than heck I freaking know. So I'm going, wow, man, these guys are amazing. Well, they knew. They were like, yep, Lincoln, not good guy. And it was amazing that, you know, Judge Napolitano was so forward about that. That surprised me. I'm like, right on. And the kids really respected that. Then Bumper Hornberger spoke and I spoke. And this is, to these guys, they were tuned in. You know, you're not going to BS these young guys. And we were always wondering, man, where are the young people going to come from? I'm telling you, they're out in force. So we have Don Brudeau was one of the original speakers, too, in our first summit.
Actually, my recollection is he was the original speaker. I think Don Brudeau was the very first speaker at the very first Freedom Summit.
You know, I think he probably is. It was him or Bob Levy, the first two guys.
And not only that, he gave one of the best speeches ever at the Freedom Summit about democracy. And I remember
his, was he Puffs of Smoke or was that Levy?
He was Puffs of, that was Don Brudeau. And I remember the very first two words of his speech. Democracy sucks.
You know, the one thing I always remembered, because we're usually busy, and I don't get to really see the summit until the videos later and so, because we're always, you know, occupied, but we don't get to enjoy it as much as I really like to, but everybody else does. We're making sure everybody's having a good time. Well, Don gave a speech, and he talked about policies that you pass and laws and so on are like little puffs of smoke to World War II bomber pilots. You know, they got their B-29. They're going over Germany. They're dropping all they see is little puffs of smoke. They don't see the ramifications, the destroyed bodies and homes, and you know they don't see the impact of this. If we'd lost that war, man, we'd been guilty of all kinds of war crimes. We were going after a civilian big time, and this was, you know, the Dresden firestorms, and it was just amazing what we were doing even without the atomic bomb. I mean, war is war. And the point that Don was making, he's going, look, when you do this kind of stuff, you have the same impact of dropping these bombs, but you don't see the impact. You just see little puffs of smoke. And so that always stuck with me. That was a decade ago.
Yeah, it was a very good speech.
So Don Berdow, and then there's a lot of other guys that we like to have. And, of course, whenever you can get Doug Casey, you win,
yeah,
you know, because
right.
He knows everything. But you wanted to talk about, you know, there's some little definition, new definition you got of freedom, old
no,
definition.
No, not a new – Ernie, it just comes under the category of stuff that's bugging Mark Victor.
Bugging Mark Victor. Got a video studio right over there, man. You get your own podcast.
I'm upset about this, Ernie, and I've had enough, and I'm fed up.
He's fed up. He's mad as hell. He's not going to take it anymore. Go ahead, man. Go.
Have you noticed everybody's for freedom?
Oh, Hitler was for freedom.
Everybody is for freedom.
Oh,
I'm
Stalin
sick
talking
of
about
it.
Freedom. Obama's a big freedom guy.
I want to know, and I wish we had a room full of people, right? Who, please raise your hand if you're not for freedom, right? Everybody's for freedom. And I'm bugged about it because they're throwing this word around, and it's just wrong. And, you know, here's what I have to say about it. I think everybody's for freedom when other people use their freedom in exactly the same ways that they would use their own freedom. It's easy to be for freedom in those circumstances, right? I mean, I would use my freedom to do certain things. My neighbor uses his or her freedom to do the same exact things. I say, wow, look at me. I'm such a freedom person. Big deal. You're nothing. That's not how we tell if you're a freedom person or not. The issue is, when other people choose to use their freedom in ways you completely and totally disagree with, stuff you would never do, stuff you think is disgusting or repulsive or immoral or just flat wrong, but doesn't violate the rights of one other person, then we find out if you're for freedom. Then, and only then, we find out if you are a freedom person.
You know, I tell you where that applies. A lot of people I really respect and like and made friends over the years and so on. This immigration thing has really brought out a lot. And it always comes, you'll discuss it. You'll come around. Where does government come in interfering with my voluntary contract with another human being? And what form do I got to fill out? And why is Uncle Sam in there, you know, regulating my interface with somebody else on the planet? Blah, 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 blah. And it always comes down to a border that they have granted sanction to a central plan to defend or to control or to, you know, whatever other human beings. And they that's where their break is. And they're missing the argument. And I'm going, you know, you don't believe that there should, you don't believe in sovereign borders. Like, yeah, I do. It's called my skin. I'm all about that sovereign border, man. I'm all over it. But when you start talking about, you know, so that's why issues like immigration and even issues like abortion is, you know, a lot of people, they try to avoid, oh, we don't want to talk about controversial issues like abortion. I love talking about abortion. It is so central.
I have a better one.
Freedom.
But I have a better one than abortion, because abortion can involve other questions about what's a life and those. Here's one of my favorites, burning the American flag. People say, well, I'm against burning the American flag because it's so wrong. It's so terrible. And I say, wait, who owns the flag? Whose flag is it? If we figure the answer to that out, then we know who gets to decide about whether or not that flag should be burned. And that's the beauty of a free people. We might be completely and totally 100% offended by another person burning their American flag, but in a free country, you got a right to do something that offends other people with your property.
Yeah, and before all you guys out there start going on about, you never defended and been out of your...
Yeah, go ahead, bring it on.
Bring it on. Mark was a Marine in Desert Storm, so don't even start.
But you know what? That's the point. It might be something that offends me to my very core, But it's not my flag. You don't burn my flag. If I have a flag, you got no right to come burn. I'll shoot you. You come to my house. Okay? You don't get to come to my house and burn my flag or burn any of my property. That's different. But if it's your flag, you can do whatever you want with your flag. And these people who think they are supporting the concepts of what America's about and they're for freedom, and yet they're telling other people that they can't burn their own flags, shame on them.
You know, that was my first political demonstration in my own head. I'll tell you, I probably some of the audience knows this story, but let me tell you this story. It was 1988, or I'm just starting to become politically aware and paying attention. You know, I just had my fourth child. It's just my father is doing business. I'm becoming aware. 1988, it's Dukakis, it's Willie Horton, it's riding around with a funny hat and a tank, and, you know, and George W., and blah, 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 shiny suits, and the whole, and the only thing I remember is the big, giant issue, the big issue, flag-burning amendment. This is it. You know, 250 million people in this country, and our biggest issue is flag burning. That's all we got to deal with. That's my number one issue. Are you freaking kidding me? So it really bothered me, and I had to do something just for my own sanity. And I took just a sheet of copy paper, you know, just regular typing paper, and my kids' crayons, and I drew an American flag on it and had flames at the bottom, and I wrote, "Burn the symbol, save the meaning."
Right.
And I folded it up and put it in my wallet. And whenever anybody brought it up and everything, I just pulled it out and I'm like, you know, that's it. You know, discussion over. You know, I'm done. So it really, the first thing as an adult, the first political thing I ever remember doing was about flag burning amendment. I just thought it was the stupidest thing ever.
The argument on the other side is, well, this is so offensive. It's so near and dear to my heart. And to me, that's exactly the reason you get to call yourself pro-freedom, because you get the concept that other people get to do things with their own property that you find offensive.
Good definition of freedom. You guys think about it. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Mark J. Victor in our final segment, What Might We Say? I don't know. You want to stick around and find out, I guarantee it.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and my good long time, keep me out of jail, not in prison, Mark J. Victor, attorney for Freedom. .com. And I want to get amen witness on this from the audience, all the gazillions and trillions of people listening. When I need your butt, you're going to be answering the damn phone, right?
Maybe. Definitely maybe.
But you're freaking answering the phone
for
now.
For sure a maybe.
I mean, you've taken four or five phone calls already.
No.
Man, don't think I'm not going to be bringing this up. Well, this is, what do you think is going to happen between now and the summit? I mean, we got to keep that in mind. We're talking about stuff. It might, you know, they'd be rioting in the streets in front of the resort.
Hey, we're the Freedom Summit, right? We can turn on a dime. If we need to bring somebody in, we can shuttle somebody in immediately, cancel, change, reboot, and we're up and running. We're current. We're the Freedom Summit.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 already. Usually we have about that. You know, that's how many speakers we could squeeze in. You know, so it's about 10 to 13, depending on how many guys we throw in a forum, you know, or something. But so we're pretty much done already.
Well, there is lining up the speakers and all that.
I don't know, man. Right, that's what Blackberries are for. You get half on the way home, I get the other half.
All right.
So this is, you know, this is not that difficult. I mean, you know, it's a lot of work. I mean, we've pretty much got reset buttons. I mean, we do contracts with the place. You know, Mark does his, a little attorney thing going on in there and beats him over the head, especially because keep in mind, the economy was taking a dump. It's after 9/11. It's 2001, 2003, around in there. He's like, I don't know. I think your guys' books are pretty bare. You sure you can't give me a better deal? It got so bad that I felt guilty doing the summits because I was so worried they were just going to screw us because they felt they got so screwed in the original negotiations.
Right.
And it's getting that way now, too. I'm being kind of nice, but I'm getting better deals. This year's better than last year.
You know, there is something else I should mention here. You know, there In the past 15 years while I've been doing criminal defense, I've had people who have approached me from time to time with really outrageous, what I would call civil rights violations. You know, a rogue police officer, maybe not so rogue, beat somebody up without any justification, inappropriate brutality, that kind of thing. And I've always had a pass because I don't do civil rights. Well, now I do civil rights. And unfortunately, I think it's a growth area, just like criminal defense is. And so since I've announced that my practice is now expanded to do, among other things, civil rights, we've actually started taking on a lot of civil rights cases. And, you know, not
all
of
them.
Are
you doing it? You got another attorney?
I have several other attorneys at my office. In fact, you know, maybe what we'll do next time I come on the air, I'll bring another attorney with me and we'll talk a little bit about civil rights and the kinds of things we take on. You know, it's hard because every single wrong I want to right. Even if there's absolutely no way we're going to make any money on it, I want to take the case. And in fact, I have several like that that I have carefully chosen to take for the point of the thing. And now I'm able to do that.
I get the calls sometimes. Ernie, we got to do this one. Let's go get them. And then a lot of times they're always really good ones. And we get the press involved. We get the media up there. We get television crews. They know Mark.
Yeah.
They're calling Mark. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
They know me. So they're going to know me even more, hopefully, coming up, because I plan to start bringing more of these civil rights claims. I want to start bringing some of them in federal court and just sticking it to them.
Oh, where are we at on baseline thing?
That's still progressing.
Okay. I'll give you the 30-second Evelyn Wood version here. In Southern Phoenix, we had a serial killer that was going around raping, killing, molesting, whatever, women, people all over the place. Little kids coming home, finding mom, you know, on the floor, blood, it was terrible. And what happened was this guy had gotten out of prison or something, he was a predator, and they had his DNA, and the detectives were like, test this. They didn't want to send it to the state lab to do because they had just spent $1 gazillion in bond and whatever, and they wanted to solve inside the Phoenix police lab. Finally, it got to so bad that after so many people had died that the union got involved, the police union, they're hammering on it. They're going to go public. It's going to be finally, all right, fine. They send it down to the state lab. They test it. Boom, get the guy in a couple days. You know, and all these people died because they were playing politics.
Yeah, well, one thing that's clear is that they had the DNA very early on, and that they didn't test it for many, many months, and that had they been able to test it, they would have been able to identify this guy and arrest him sooner.
And they just spent $1 gazillion on labs promising to do that very thing.
Yeah, and so what's not exactly clear at the moment to me is exactly why they delayed. And that's the part that I'm still running down. Because, you know, Ernie, at the end of the day, I want to be careful that cases that I bring are well-founded. I am not somebody who's inclined to bring any kind of a frivolous lawsuit. I don't want to bring something that's not well-founded in solid and fact.
Because you like trying the case. You want to go before a jury and a judge, and you want to put on the show, and you can't do it like Mark does it unless you got all the goodies.
Right. I like to have all the goodies. Just like, you know, remember when we did the Shelton trial? That was a fun trial because we had all the goodies.
I know. We got so many stories. You know, but I want to finish on this baseline thing. What happened was, it's a perfect argument for a libertarian. And this is why I talked to the Confrontation Prevention Squad guy from the Phoenix Police Department about this. And I go, look, you know, he wanted to be all buddies and everything after we did our guns Obama deal. And he's like, yeah, you're a contact. We could be all friends. I'm going, maybe we won't be friends. He had a supervisor with him. They took me over to Starbucks and we were just having how we're going to be buds, right? And I go, well, and I looked at my clock, the clock on my phone, and I said, right about now, your bosses are being served with a notice of claim. Let me tell you what it is. This is what happened. A lot of these families, you know, they doing a wrongful death suit or negligent whatever thing. Mark's taking this on, and this is where the hook is for the libertarians. Whenever you go to, they go, yeah, you're just a bunch of anarchists. Oh, you won't let us do the food tax increase because if we don't, we're going to lose cops. We're going to lose police officers, fire 500, and we'll all go to heck because we don't have all these police officers we need. And you wouldn't believe what the percentage of the Phoenix City budget is for police, just police. Not fire, not parks and rec, not roads, not, just police. Take a guess. 70%. 70% of our city budget, police. You think I'm kidding? I mean, this, are you freaking kidding me? Of course I want to cut the police. So the thing is that we're going, look, and what do they say? Oh, you dang libertarians, you would cut police. We'd be all not safe, and you're not allowed to defend yourself kind of thing. Well, they do. Arizona's now third state with unrestricted concealed carry. So, you know, what do they do? They say, nope, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to cut the police. That'd be bad. That'd be scary. And I'm going, well, why? Well, we need all the police to, you know, to save us against serial killers. What if there was a serial killer? What if we had serial killers? We'd have to have a play. I go, we had a serial killer. You wouldn't do anything. People died. I go, yo, Mark Victor, here he comes. Here we come. It's all, oh, it's going to be all good. So we're going to get this out because that's why I'm interested in this case. When they had all, got all the money they ever wanted, all the political will they ever had, 70% of the city budget goes to freaking police, and this is what happens. You got serial killer, after death, after death, after death, after death, and they still wouldn't test the freaking stuff because they wanted to keep it in Phoenix instead of going literally down the street, a couple of blocks down the street to the state lab to test it. Oh, they have not even got me on this yet. We've been holding it. We're going, oh, man, they'll go and load on y'all.
You know, and part of the problem here is, Ernie, you know, in a civil case, we don't really have rights to find out what the facts are before we file the complaint. And I've offered to sit down. I've said to the other side, hey, look, you guys are telling me you did nothing wrong. That's fine. Let's call everybody in. Let's sit at a big table, put everyone around the table. And I just want to ask some questions. Why wasn't it tested? What happened? What was the thought process? Educate me. Explain. Oh, no, we're not going to do that.
Because they had so much press. It's when they increase government under the fear. They needed this. They wanted this. Death, dying, destruction, give us more money. It worked for them. But then when they had the opportunity to use these resources, they didn't. They go down the street, give it to the state. No. They needed the death. They needed it. They wanted it. You know, oh, there's not, you know, I tell you what happened. It was in South Phoenix, so it was a lot of minorities. I mean, if it was a, you know, good-looking little white girl from North Central Phoenix, man, that'd been a totally different deal. That's a whole nother issue. So this is, you know, what's the proper role of government? Defending individuals?
This is the part that people don't get. It's fun to say for some people, well, let's go chase around the pot smokers. Don't you understand that by chasing around the pot smokers, you are taking dollars to chase around the murderers? You're taking dollars away from rape prosecutions?
But you can't RICO all the assets of a crazy serial killer.
And that's what it's about.
And you damn Skippy, that's what it's around.
It's a good moneymaker.
And the government is there to defend individual rights, or at least allow us to defend ourselves, and that's where, you know, it's starting to bounce back. That's why this gun thing, concealed carry, no permit deal, we've been hammering on that since 94.
How many times, Ernie, do we need to hammer on the same thing before people understand that they are living under a government that's effectively out of control?
I think they're starting to come to that realization. If they haven't already, they soon will.
The government has wandered far from the thoughts of the people who set this government up.
You know, a lot of times they go about how we're doing on vote totals and all that kind of stuff, and I go, how many people have stopped voting? Really? That many? I win! Stop supporting the beast that's devouring you. You know, that's why I'm not, you know, voting. Whatever. Do it, don't do it. There's no central plan for freedom. But don't sit there and look at people that don't vote while they're out there busting their butt, actually freeing minds and saying, well, they're not doing anything effective because they didn't do their once every 2 years cattle call, going into the stalls and pushing a screen with no paper reported to the government, said, I'm sorry, you didn't get more of your freedom. You got communist or fascist candidate A or B. Is that it? Seriously? Is that my option? Is that what I get? Ooh, what do? You bring on Ernie, or you bring on Mark J. Victor, the team you do not want to be in our sights. We'll talk to you tomorrow.